In the times that we live in today, when you need to preserve something valuable, you have a variety of options depending on what the item and your resources happen to be. When it comes to the Bible and Gospels, there was a long span of time when the Word of God was preserved simply by word of mouth. It took centuries before any formal effort was made to preserve the stories, the wisdom of the Gospels in any shape through written form. My next guest is here with the details about a New York City showing, some of those valuable early religious texts and their significance. He is the Senior Vice President of the Illuminor Gallery in Manhattan, Christopher DeHamel. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning.
And the website, no need for a spelling bee because we have the link over at our website, but it's the name of the gallery, theilluminor.com, and you'll see it over to examine what is, Christopher, a spectacular collection of religious texts. Give us a little overview of what this collection contains.
It's a small collection of biblical manuscripts, books which either are actually texts of the Bible itself or they are commentaries on the Bible. What is really important about them is they are extraordinarily early. This is part of a major European private collection. And before about 1200, the texts of the Bible which we know now, generally circulated as separate texts, as individual components. And these are books from the 10th, 11th, and 12th centuries. So they are really, really early records of the transmission of the Bible. That is why they're important.
And it's a common belief that illiteracy rates were extremely high during this time span, and very few people actually read books. Is that one of the reasons why these even exist, albeit in a spectacular condition by what I can see?
I think that is a reason. These are all in Latin. The Bible was translated, was originally written in Hebrew and in Greek. It was translated into Latin in the late 4th century by St. Jerome, translating, working in Bethlehem. And these are all that Latin translation. Now, you may think that Latin is an obscure and difficult language, but at this time, if you'd learned to read and write at all, you would have learned to read and write in Latin. Latin was the language of literacy. So although not a large number of people could read, if they could read, they would read in Latin. At this date, these are not privately owned books. They were mostly made for monasteries or for churches. They would have been preserved in monastic libraries, and they were cultured, and they were literate, and they could read.
Do we know how this collection came to be? Because, I mean, obviously everyone has a desire to collect something. We just look at any TV show today. We see everything from porn stars to antique roadshow, and this is not something new. This has gone through complete civilization.
Completely understand the instinct for collecting, and the answer is yes, of course. These are part of a Swiss private collection of medieval art formed by a couple who are still alive, and they have got some marvelous medieval manuscripts and medieval objects, and they are selling a number of them to kind of raise money for the preservation, digitization, exhibition of the rest. So it has a kind of reason for doing it. Books, of course, unlike archaeological objects, have always belonged to people. It's quite easy to write your name in a book. You can put a book plate in a book. You can follow the history of a book through. And quite a lot of these, you can say exactly where they've been in the last 1,000 years. And it's kind of fascinating that you can have, you know, this is a book. One may have been made in say, Western Germany in the 11th century. Then at the suppression of the monasteries, it went into private hands. It goes to somebody else, to another. And they're all part of a kind of long chain of ownership and of collecting. So it's not a new thing. I mean, you say everyone has the collecting instinct. These are books that have been collected for hundreds and hundreds of years.
They are spectacular. When you go to leillumini.com and you can see just the photos alone, never mind if you're able to attend the showing, which is going on through May 2nd, as, by the way, these items are indeed up for sale. If you have a few hundred grand kicking around that you would like to have something very special in your possession, the gallery is at 23 East 73rd Street in the 7th floor penthouse in New York City. And we were talking with Christopher de Hamel about the Ida Collection is what it's called. And again, you can see it and all the other various aspects of what the Illuminor Gallery offers at theilluminor.com. You can tell I took 4 years of German when I was in high school, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. By and large, as conditions go for books of this era, how does the condition of these documents and books rank?
You mean the condition of preservation?
Yes.
Extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. The collection was formed with a very refined European sense of what is in perfect condition. There's one 11th century book here, a kind of anthology of quotations from St. Gregory, in the most amazing condition. You can put it on your lap and turn the pages, and it's absolutely as if it was new. And it's about the same date as the Bayeux tapestry. I mean, it's 950 years old, in astonishing condition.
Among this collection, it said the Leesburn Gospels is the prize of the collection. Why is that so?
It's the earliest of them. This is a gospel book. It's the four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's a late 10th century manuscript, and it's beautifully decorated. It's got that kind of interlaced ornament, page after page of designs in it, and an extraordinary medieval decorated bookbinding. But it is also interesting in that we know everything about it. We know who made it. It's actually signed by the scribe. We've got his name. We know who paid for it. It was paid for by, or it was commissioned by, an abbess for her monastery. And we know every single owner it's ever had. And it's an extraordinary survival from the dark ages of Europe. And it came to America in the middle of the 20th century, spent 50 years in California. Then it went to Norway and then to Switzerland. Now, as of quite recently, it's back in America again.
I'm just awestruck by, you know, just the fact that by hand these things are scribed, but the artwork too. Was there any printing mechanics used, or are these all hand drawn artwork?
These are all entirely handmade. Printing was invented, or printing in Europe was invented, in the middle of the 15th century. Traditionally, the Gutenberg Bible is the first great book printed. And every one of these is hundreds and hundreds of years older than the Gutenberg Bible. So the Lisbon Gospel Book was, in the time of Gutenberg, the Lisbon Gospel Book is as old as the Gutenberg Bible is to us. So it's twice as old as that.
When you look at items like this, I mean, you say that for the most part, you can always track their chain of possession. Is that always a fun thing for a collector, do you think? Or
I love doing it. I absolutely love doing it. You can't always do it. Sometimes you just don't know where a thing has been. But there is a kind of a thrill in owning something, and you feel that you're kind of part of a line of like-minded collectors with whom you share an enthusiasm that's gone on for hundreds of years and is not over yet and will still go on. And there is a kind of a thrill in linking yourself in with that. But I think there's also... there's a fascination in owning a very, very, very old book. You can, you turn the pages, you look at it, you admire it. You can read it, though you don't have to read it. You look with a magnifying glass. You start to notice things in the decorated initials you've never seen before. You notice the way things have gone wrong. You notice how they've corrected it, they've changed it, they've altered it, they've used it, they've annotated it. It's kind of rolled through history. I find them utterly, utterly bewitching.
And when you look at the content, I mean, they're obviously the Gospels and the and the Psalms that became part of the formal Bibles centuries later.
Both Bibles, both straight Bible texts. I mean, both texts of books which are now components in what we would know as a Bible. There are also Bible commentaries. That's to say, books by the great early writers of the Christian Church, St. Augustine, Jerome, Origen, and Gregory, and so on, who are taking biblical texts and then analyzing them and looking for layers of meaning. And that kind of link you get with looking at something as early as that and seeing how people are struggling with understanding what is sometimes a complicated text.
Well, without a doubt, and I think, too, with people, you always want to... when it comes to, we're not going to get into religious theology here, but when you want to get to the the truth in the translation, the further you can go back, the more accurate you are certainly going to be. So for the study of religion alone, these things are invaluable. But for their handicraft and the dedication that went into creating them, it's just phenomenal. When you go to LeilaMenor.com to see the Ida collection, and if you can get into Manhattan to see it personally through May 2nd at 23 East 73rd Street, 7th floor penthouse in New York City, you will be awestruck because these are just fantastic pieces of our history, in faith as well as in publishing, and just in as a human being when you want to care about something and preserve something and just be amazed at how well and how long something could be preserved. This is the exception to the general rule, and these are just fantastic items to still have among the available and to learn from and to enjoy and to be just to be awestruck by. It's the Ida Collection on display through May 2nd at LeilaMenor Gallery, 23 East 73rd Street, 7th floor penthouse, New York City, LeilaMenor.com. You can see the collection as well as other items at the gallery has available and upcoming shows as well. We've been joined by their vice president, Christopher DeHamel. Christopher, thank you so much for this tour of a spectacular collection. Thanks for being here this morning.